caught the chemistry lab.
No, you did not.
That's a long story.
Okay.
How was choir?
It was good.
Moms have it so easy. I mean, their lives are fun, simple, and so rewarding. Sometimes I wish, instead of being the dad, I wish I was the mom. Ah, another day of pedicures, reading my magazines, and making myself beautiful. This is the life.
Mom? Mom, tell it to stop copying me.
Mom, tell him to stop copying me.
I'm not kidding.
I'm not kidding.
Mom, do something.
Mom, do something.
Are you serious?
Are you serious?
Mom, are you serious? Why did I ever ask you to help me? I should have known you couldn't fix my hair. I look like a freak. Look at me.
Look at me. Hey, Mom. Look at this. Look at me. Come on, Mom. Look at me. Watch this, Mom. Come on. Look at this. Watch this. Come on, look at me. Come on, Mom. Look at me. Come on, Mom. Look at me. Come on. Report due tomorrow, and I haven't read any of this.
Mom, if you don't help me, I'm gonna fail school and be a loser forever.
You don't expect me to read this all by myself, do you? You don't expect me to eat this, do you?
Seriously, Mom, what is this?
Mom, I'm not gonna eat this.
Dad, can we just go out to eat, please?
Hey, kids, be nice to your mother.
If I eat this, I'm gonna throw up.
Mom, I said I'm gonna throw up. Mom, I think I'm gonna be sick too.
You're amazing. No, seriously. I don't know how you do it. I'm at a loss for words. Kids, come here. Get in here. Hug your mother. Tell her you love her. We're in the presence of greatness. Not now. Dad's on a roll. This is God's greatest creation, kids.
You're smushing my face.
I'm sorry. And I'm sorry. Because I don't say thank you enough. I mean, the truth is, I don't deserve you. We don't deserve you. And one day is not enough to honor you. We should honor you every day. But how do we say thank you to the woman that means the world to us? I know. We're going to go right now and get you that vacuum cleaner you've had your eye on. No. Shh. Don't speak. This time, we're going name brand, baby. Come on, kids. Let's go make your mom's dreams come true.
Oh, man. Well, good morning, Genesis. Man, it's great to see you here on Mother's Day. Awesome, awesome day. I want to say happy Mother's Day to a lot of moms in here, and even some ladies in here that, though you don't have any physical children, I'm telling you what, there's many women in here that are a great, great influence and have, that are moms. As a matter of fact, there's some women in this room right now that don't have any children, but they are a huge blessing to my children as well. And so I just want to close out this Eve and Adam series that we've been in. You say, isn't it Adam and Eve? Well, actually, we did Adam and Eve last fall where we talked to the men. The last few weeks, last 5 weeks, we've been talking to the ladies, Eve and Adam. And we, yes, definitely, it was no coincidence we ended this on Mother's Day because the message that I really want to share this morning, as we close out this Eve and Adam series, is just absolutely appropriate for Mother's Day. And just wanted to be an encouragement to you ladies, all ladies, not just moms. I think you'll see by the time this message ends that this absolutely is for every woman in this room, no matter the age, background, or anything. But just to kind of wrap up our Eve and Adam series, I want to read a passage. We've read it a couple of times over the last few weeks. It's been kind of a foundation for this message in this series. In Genesis chapter 3, I want to read just verse 18 and following. Listen real closely. In Genesis chapter 2, I apologize. So I have that wrong, and Carla's looking at me because I totally messed it up. So you're just going to have to read. I'm going to read, and you're going to listen to me. Genesis chapter 2, I just totally messed them up there. Listen to what it says. It says, Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. Every man in here said, amen. It's not good to be alone, guys. I will make a helper suitable for him. Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the beasts of the field, all the birds of the air. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds of the air, and the beasts of the field. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs, closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. He said this. Listen to what he said, guys. This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of the man. And the rest of the story goes, and they lived happily ever after. We know better than that, don't we? We know better than that. That's the way we want to read it. That's the way we want to read every story between a man and a woman coming together as husband and wife. That's what it should read, or at least that's what we hope it will read. Even though it doesn't read it there, we hope it'll read it for our lives in that case. Because when we get married, we don't, well, I promise, I do weddings and enjoy doing weddings. As a matter of fact, there's a couple of weddings, a couple of couples in here I've done their wedding and look forward. I've got one coming up pretty soon that I'm looking forward to, excited about. And, I love that opportunity. But when you're standing there at the altar and you're standing before the preacher, the pastor, the priest, whoever it is, you're standing there and you repeat those vows, you don't say, well, we hope to make it. Or, babe, I'm going to do my best. Or, well, you know, there's always a way out if it doesn't work out. We don't say that because for us, we want it to read, and they lived happily ever after. We want that. That's what we want. I'm going to talk about some obstacles to happily ever after this morning. But more importantly, ladies, I want to speak to your heart this morning for just a few minutes. Because here's the deal. When we read the rest of the story, when we read on into Genesis chapter 3, my typo on there, but when we read into Genesis chapter 3, what we see is this. The rest of the story goes that Eve was tempted by Satan. That Eve distrusted God and ate the fruit that He commanded her not to. That Eve gave to that fruit to her husband, and he ate it and also disobeyed God. That together they hid from God in their guilt and shame. That God pronounced judgment on their sin, which included pain and childbearing. You wondered where that came from, ladies. It included cursing the ground, which also included thorns, thistles, sweat, and hard labor, guys, for us. And eventually, the rest of the story read, they were cast from the garden. They were cast away from God's presence. Not much of a happily ever after. Not much of a resume for the first woman, is it? Eve's happily ever after was shattered. Eve's happily ever after was quickly shattered by that. I'm going to speak to the married couples and to the couples in here. Do you remember the first time your happily ever after was shattered? First time you picked up his dirty underwear off the floor, right? The first time, I'll never forget when Jody and I first met, we were together. That first home there together and the first meal. And she decided to make homemade biscuits. I love homemade biscuits. You can tell by looking at me. I like homemade biscuits. And she makes great biscuits, by the way. Of course, I found out they're a lot easier. That they already make those beautiful, wonderful biscuits that you can buy. That not the canned biscuits. I'm talking about those frozen ones. Man, they're great if you don't have time to make the homemade ones. But I'll never forget, she made homemade biscuits for the first time. They looked incredible until we forgot about them. And they became charcoal briquettes. And they were burnt. First biscuit she ever made, she burnt. I tried to eat it. She got madder that I actually tried to eat it than the fact that she burned it in the first place. But you remember when that happily ever after was shattered, the first time you got on each other's nerves, the first time that you had a little disagreement or everything. But at some point in that relationship, the happily ever after became reality. And you realize that, you know what? This is going to take some work. This is going to take something from me. This is going to take a little energy. This is going to take some effort on both of our parts in order to make this work. The happily ever after got shattered. Maybe you remember when that happened in your relationship. But can you imagine from Eve, from this, what I just talked about, where God put Adam to sleep, took a rib, fashion formed Eve. And if you'll remember a few weeks ago, I talked about, ladies, how God had a relationship with Eve. Eve had a relationship with God before God ever brought Eve to Adam, and she had a relationship to Adam. And the very simple truth from that is the fact that, ladies, your relationship with God is priority and takes priority over your relationship with a man, with your husband. But can you imagine after Eve was tempted by Satan when he came to her and tried to and caused her to distrust God and doubt God's word, and she began to listen and began to figure out her own plan of action here, and she decided to eat the fruit that God had told him, don't touch it, don't eat it, it's right there in the middle of the garden, you can have every other fruit from every other tree in this garden, that is the only thing that's off limits. And that is the one thing that Satan tempted her with and caused her to distrust God. And she eventually ate and she gave it to her husband and he ate and disobeyed God. And from that, and it just began to spiral out of control. Can you imagine for just a moment how Eve must have felt? Many women feel the exact same way today. Her marriage bliss probably felt like a marriage blunder. When the happily ever after was shattered from some of her own mistakes, from some of her own choices, I'm sure that that marriage bliss just felt like it was all gone. It was all lost. Put yourself in her place for just a moment. Many women, many married women feel they've made mistakes in their marriage and maybe have cost their marriage, or maybe perhaps they're struggling in their marriage. Maybe you're struggling in your marriage here this morning. I'm telling you, you're in the perfect place. You're in the absolute perfect place this morning. Many single women feel sometimes that they felt like they've messed up. They feel like maybe somehow the reality has sunk in and that their happily ever after is not so easy to come by. And maybe they feel maybe a single woman feels that because she's not married yet that somehow she's incomplete. Well, that goes back to what I said a while ago. Your relationship with God is foundational over any other relationship. That's the beginning point. But here's the thing. That some women maybe feel like they have failed somehow. You're in the absolute right place if you feel that way this morning. I want to read Genesis chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. This one should be up here because I actually put this one right on here on our notes and stuff this morning. So again, I apologize for that. Read the first couple of verses of Genesis chapter 4. Listen to what it says. It says, Adam lay with his wife Eve. And maybe your translation says Adam made love to his wife Eve. And all the husbands said, amen on that. Some of you guys are going to go home tonight and say, babe, I think we just need to study the Bible tonight. And you're going to turn to Genesis chapter 4 and start it off right here. Okay, Adam made love to his wife Eve. That's an awesome verse. Somebody's going to start reading your Bible. You're like, man, I didn't know that was in there. I'm going to start reading my Bible every day. There's a whole lot more in here than that. God's very honest. And not only that, but God created that relationship between Adam and Eve. He created that relationship between a husband and a wife, and that includes the sexual relationship. It's a beautiful thing that God created for mankind to enjoy, for husband and wife to enjoy with one another. We just do a really good job of messing it up. But here's the thing. Finally, things are looking up. Listen to what it says. It says, she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. She said, with the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man. Later, she gave birth to his brother, Abel. Now, Abel kept flocks and Cain worked the soil. Both these boys were industrious. Both of her sons had jobs. Men? That's right. Get a job. You want to have a wife, go get a job first. Right, ladies? Amen. Finally, things are probably looking up for Eve. She messed up in that Garden of Eden there in perfection. She had no mother-in-law, ladies. No one was going to show up at the Garden of Eden and inspect it to make sure everything was clean and perfect order and her family was all in good shape. So she had no mother-in-law. It was paradise. The ladies right there in paradise, she felt like, I'm sure she probably felt like, you know what, I blew that in my marriage, but there's always my kids. I've got my kids. She had two children. Finally, things are looking up for Eve. Maybe she can redeem herself by being Mother of the Year. Some of you do that. You go, you know what, I messed up in that relationship, but you know what, I'm going to be Mom of the Year. I'm going to be the best mom in the world. We say that a lot when we're teenagers. We think in our minds, when I'm a parent, when I'm a mom, when I'm a dad, I'm going to treat my kids this way. And then we grow up and actually have kids and reality sinks in. Then we realize our parents were not so dumb after all. And a whole lot easier on us than we really deserved. When kids come along, women are prone to wrapping their lives around their entire beings up in those little babies. And rightfully so. Because, ladies, you have a very beautiful gift of nurturing. You teach compassion. If you were not in that home, our kids may not always look dressed appropriately. That's right. They may go without food sometimes. But here's the deal. That beautiful gift of nurturing can be twisted. It can be, there's the temptation. They're prone to wrapping your identity up in those little babies. And that strong sense of nurturing can actually border on obsession if you're not careful. And what can happen is you suddenly, those kids start to become an object of worship rather than God. Well, if I can't get my relationship right, or I can't get my, if me and my husband just can't get along, I will at least have a great, I will be fantastic mom. I will be my kid's best friend. Let's follow in Genesis chapter 4, verse 3. Let's just continue to read in verse 3. It says, in the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil. Remember, Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought forth some fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. But Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. In other words, he killed some animals to bring them as an offering to God. The Lord looked with favor. Golly, man, I can't even read this morning. He looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, why are you so angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it. Now Cain said to his brother Abel, let's go out to the field. And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, where is your brother Abel? I don't know, he replied. Am I my brother's keeper? The Lord said, what have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Now you are under a curse and driven from the ground, which opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it will no longer yield its crops. For you, you will be like a restless wanderer on the earth. Let me stop right there. Now, first of all, Eve, her marriage bliss was interrupted. Secondly, now her mother image is tarnished. Her oldest just killed her youngest son. Listen to me very closely, moms. I want to say this. Sometimes your children, your kids, will make some bad decisions or some wrong choices. That does not automatically make you a horrible mother. And this can be, and they can make those decisions and choices in spite of your best efforts to raise them right. Think about this for just a moment. Both of Eve's sons brought an offering to the Lord. They were both taught. They were both instructed to worship the Lord. They were both given instruction. They were brought up to actually worship God, to bring an offering to Him. But in spite of your best efforts, sometimes they'll make bad decisions. And that's the danger in wrapping your identity up in your children. Because when your children make bad choices, make wrong decisions, then you as a mother feel like you have failed and you have blown it. So I'm sure that between her marriage with Adam, between her oldest son killing her youngest son, Eve probably, I'm sure she felt like a failure all the way around. Eve likely felt... I want to read a couple of verses real quick, and then I'm going to bring this all the way around. Verse 25 says this. It says, Adam made love to his wife again. It's twice in the same chapter, guys. You need to read your Bible, I'm telling you guys. And she gave birth to a son and named him Seth, saying, God has granted me another child in place of Abel, since Cain killed him. Seth also had a son, and he named him Enosh. Listen to this last statement. At that time, men began to call on the name of the Lord. Eve felt like, I'm sure, that she had failed in her relationship with God. That she had failed in her marriage. And probably she even felt like, because Cain killed Abel, that she had failed as a mother. But I want you to understand that these two verses reveal an incredible truth, an unbelievable promise. I want you to see that these two verses that right here reveal a great theme that you're going to see throughout Scripture and that you and I need to understand this morning. Listen to me very closely. Through all of our failures, we learn that there is a God that we can trust to never fail us. You see, ladies, many times it can be in your relationships, it can be with your kids, it can be in your own relationship to God. You can be tempted to think because of your past mistakes and failures that you somehow are a failure as a person. But what we see through this passage that I just read, those two verses, I'm going to show it to you real closely, is that there is a God that you and I can trust, that we can put our trust in to never fail us. She said she finally had another son, named him Seth. Which means just simply, his name Seth just means kind of granted. And what she said was, she named him after the fact that God granted her another son to take the place of the son Abel that she had lost to his brothers murdering him. And when you read this verse, it says, this last part of this verse, it says that Seth also had a son and named him Enosh. At that time, men began to call on the name of the Lord. It's a powerful statement. It's a powerful inclusion, ladies, that God would include that past, that truth right there. And it looks forward to a time. It says, look, right there in that moment, she had another son. And at that time in history, it says that men begin to call on the name of the Lord, or literally to proclaim the name of the Lord. Eve's life and legacy was not just that she was the first woman on this planet. Her legacy was not just that she was the first to distrust God. Not that she was just the first mother or a wife to struggle in her marriage. Her legacy is not that she was just the first mother to experience disappointment with her kids and then as a mother. Instead, her life represents a vivid reminder that even though we may experience failure and disappointments in our lives, when we look to God, when we trust Him, that He can bring hope and redemption to us. You say, I'm not sure I follow you exactly. You see, at that time, when she had that third son, was a time when it was said that men began to proclaim the name of the Lord and to call on Him. You say, why is that so important? Because it's a great footnote. It is a great inclusion. And I'm going to tell you, ladies, what your most incredible, and this is not just for moms here this morning. This is for every woman in under the hearing of my voice. Maybe you're listening to that. I'm just going to include it. Maybe somebody's listening to this online this week. Every woman, I want you to understand this, what your greatest asset is. Do you know what your greatest asset is? Influence. Ladies, you carry influence. It's your greatest asset. You may have physical beauty. You may have incredible personality. You may have incredible talents and gifts and unbelievable wisdom, but your greatest asset that every woman in this room possesses is influence. Think about it for a moment. Eve was able to influence Adam to eat the fruit. She was able to influence. You say, well, why did Adam eat that fruit? Think about it, guys. His wife was naked and had fruit. Enough said. Every husband here said, I'd do anything she wanted me to. A naked woman with fruit has a lot of influence over men. Enough said. Leave it at that. Your greatest asset is influence. It's an asset that every woman has. Unlike beauty, it never fades with time unless it's abused. Unlike money, possessions, material goods, it never costs you a dime, ladies. You have it. You have influence. You carry influence. And the only way you can cheapen it is by using it to serve yourself. And it doesn't cost you a dime, but you have that influence. Every woman in this room carries some influence. You say, well, I don't have kids. You have influence. You influence those around you. You influence. And your great, let me tell you something. Your greatest asset becomes your greatest gift when you influence others to worship God. That statement, that inclusion in that verse that said, at that time, when Eve gave birth to Seth and said, you know what, I'm going to name him Seth because God has absolutely granted me another son in place of Abel. And at that time when Seth was born and he had a son, that time men began to call on the name of the Lord. What a beautiful inclusion to Eve's testimony. That a woman who felt like she had used her influence wrongly when she influenced Adam to eat that fruit. I wonder how many times she replayed that scene in her mind over and over again like a bad recording. I wonder how many times that went over in her mind over and over and over again. Ladies, you have influence. Every single woman in here. You influence people. I love kids and their honesty. I went on field trip Friday with third grade classes at Drummond's Elementary. And it's amazing what you can learn on a bus full of third graders. Because they don't hold anything back. If you have a third grader, your deepest family secrets have been revealed. Oh. I had a blast, though. It poured down rain. We got all soaked in mud and everything else, and I still had a blast. I forgot how fun it is to hang out with kids. Ladies, you have influence, and not with just those little kids. You say, well, I don't have kids. How do I have influence? Because it is a beautiful attribute and asset that you have. If you don't believe me, think about this. How many country songs have been written about women? Enough said. Enough said. You have influence. Think about how women influence culture. Think about how women influence art, story, tale. Do you know what captures a man's heart greater than just an adventure? A woman's love. It does. Ladies, you have influence all around you, not just with your own husband, not just with children. Even as a single woman, you carry influence. As I said earlier, there's some women in this room that don't have kids. They carry a tremendous amount of influence in my family because they're godly women who love Jesus and full of wisdom and compassion. You carry influence, ladies. It would have been real easy for Eve to have seen, I blew it with my husband when I caused him to disobey. Think about that. She influenced her husband to disobey God. She probably, when Cain killed Abel, she probably thought, I have failed as a mother. And then God said, you know what? I'm going to give you another son to replace Abel. And she saw that son as a precious gift from God. You know what she was doing? She was learning to trust that there's a God who's bigger than my failures. That time and time again will never let me down, that will never fail me. And eventually, when she got that son, Seth, it says there that at that time, men began to call on the name of the Lord. Your greatest asset is influence. And ladies, it is your greatest gift when you influence others to worship God. In the New Testament, the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 11, is called God's Hall of Faith. And the reason it's called that, because it lists all of these men and women that were great men and women of faith, that were examples of faith to us, how they trusted God in impossible situations, in every trial, in every tragedy. Not that they were perfect people, not that their faith was always perfect, but they were, their life showed a pattern of a trust and a faith in a holy God that would never fail them. Do you know who the first person listed in that chapter 11 of Hebrews is? Abel, the son she thought she had lost. He's the very first one listed in Hebrews 11. By faith, Abel offered a better sacrifice to God than his brother Cain. So not only did God give her Seth, but Abel would be listed as the first person known as a man of faith. Regardless of how she may have started, ladies, she trusted God through every avenue of it, in every aspect of it. God was able to overcome her failures and mistakes. I'll never forget, as I mentioned earlier, that first place, that little mobile home that Jody and I lived in. It was over off Boswell Road, right off Candy Lane, not too far from here. As a matter of fact, she told me the other day she took some kids by there, took our kids, and I think maybe, I don't know if she had some other students or other kids or something with her, but she said she took them by to see the Love Shack, affectionately known as the Love Shack. I guess that's because when we first fell in love. But I'll never forget that little old mobile home that we lived in. And how we didn't have anything. You know, you hear those stories, didn't have anything. Yeah, that was the way we started. We had a pallet on the floor. We didn't even have a bed in there. But you know what? She made an incredible pallet on the floor for us to sleep on until I could save up enough money to buy a bed. 5-inch black and white TV. We sit on a little chair right in front of the couch we had. The couch we had was actually given to us. Somebody that had it in their garage. It's where the dog slept, so we cleaned it. We had a little 5-inch black and white TV. We sat on a chair right there. Didn't have anything. But you know what? 25 years later, she still calls it the Love Shack. Unbelievable. Her influence in that setting made it a home. Probably about a year or so went by. We moved to Hardeman County for a short time, and we actually, when we first moved there, we lived in a, and I thought about this a lot yesterday, just kind of thinking about what I was going to share this morning. We lived in a 35-foot travel trailer. Wondering, that time, you know, first year, you got that first year under your belt, there's all kinds of struggles, all kinds of challenges that first year, amen? Yeah, you wait till you get to about year 20. All kinds of struggles and challenges, living in that little trailer, wondering if we were going to make it, in our, not only in our relationship, but just period. We didn't have anything. You know, you work a full-time job, but you make a minimum wage. It's kind of hard to make ends meet sometimes. And a couple months after, two or three months after we lived there, we actually got invited to go spend the night with our dad. And we get a few miles from the house, and the car breaks down. So when you're broke and you don't have anything, and you're wondering if you're going to make it in your marriage, and you're going to make it in your relationship, and then your car breaks down, something weird happens like that, it really starts you to question everything, doesn't it? I see some of you shaking your head. You know what I'm talking about. All it takes is one more hit, and you're going to be down. You're not going to make it. But I remember our car breaking down. Somebody giving us a ride home because we coasted in the parking lot, a little gravel parking lot. The only place to pull off the road to get to, because the car would quit, was a little gravel parking lot, a little Baptist church, Midway Baptist Church in Whiteville, Tennessee. And on Saturday night, somebody actually gave me a ride home. And but I want you to know something. It was the influence of my wife the following Sunday morning that said, why don't we go visit that church? They invited us and gave us a ride home. 3 days later, I gave my life to Christ. And a week later, Jody, my wife, was saved as well. And all through our lives, and all through our marriage, our home, my wife has been a faithful influence. Even when I wanted to quit, even when I wanted to say, you know, man, it just seems like you have struggle after struggle after struggle, she's been that influence that says, just follow God, and I'll follow you. Ladies, you carry an unbelievable amount of influence. And you can use that influence to serve yourself. Or you can use that influence to cause others to worship God. You don't have to be a mom, and you don't have to be a wife to cause that to happen as a woman. I'm going to say this because Jody's home with a sinus infection. But I know that she will listen to this probably in the next few days when it's posted online. I just want to repeat the words of Charles Spurgeon that he said to his wife, Susanna, when he said, my own dear one, none know how grateful I am to God for you. In all I have ever done for him, you have a large share. For in making me so happy, you have fitted me for service. Not an ounce of power has ever been lost to the good cause through you. I have served the Lord far more and never less for your sweet companionship. The Lord God Almighty bless you now and forevermore. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads. In all likelihood, (clears throat) every person in here, if you were to be very honest, would say there was probably some woman, whether it be a wife, most likely it was probably a mother, maybe an aunt or a grandmother, that has influenced you in your relationship to God. Men, the greatest gift you can give to your wife is to give your life to Christ this morning. Somewhere along the way, I guarantee you there was a woman who's prayed for you, a mother, a grandmother, a close family friend, some lady who used her influence to cause you, if nothing else, to go to church. A very dear friend of mine, as a matter of fact, the man who led me to Christ, went to church on an Easter Sunday to go to church with his mom. He gave his life to Christ that morning. And several years later, became a pastor. He led me to Jesus, among dozens and hundreds of others that he's led to Christ through the years. Maybe you came this morning just to honor your mom. And maybe it was your mom's influence that you're here this morning just because you wanted to honor her. That's influence. There's no greater gift you can give to honor her than to begin to worship God in your own life. Men, don't let her lead you to church. If she brought you, it's time for you to give your life to Jesus and lead her and that family. Ladies, you may feel like you have failed in relationships, and you're single or single again. You may have feel like this morning you have failed as mom. Let me tell you something. God is big enough to overcome your failures if you will begin to trust Him and follow Him with your life. I'm not talking about being a good church person. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about a genuine trust and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and honoring Him and following Him with your life in every way. That song we sang earlier, with everything. With all of your time, all your ability, your talent, all your resources. Your whole life wrapped up in Him. You have the opportunity to influence others to serve and worship God. It begins today by trusting Him with your life, trusting Him with your future, trusting Him with today. Trusting what He did on the cross to cover your sin and my sin. All over this room, I just want to invite you to give your life to Him this morning. Right where you sit. Just begin to pray quietly in your heart to God. You're not talking to man. You're not talking to me or anyone around you. Just to begin to pray quietly in your heart and say, "Oh God, I feel like I've blown it. I've messed up." Those are the words that I said 22 years ago, 23 years ago. I said, "God, I've blown it. I've messed up." Just say to God, I failed. But I know that You love me. I know that Jesus died for me to pay for my sin. So I ask You to forgive me, cleanse me, change me. Give me a brand new beginning today, oh God. The best way I know how, I give my life to You. Help me to follow You. Help me to serve You. Help me to honor You with my life. God, thank you for never giving up on me. Thank you for hearing my prayer, for saving me this morning. I'm going to follow you now. I'm not going to come to you, point you out, do anything to embarrass you. But I just want to ask you right now, if that's you, if you prayed that prayer something like it, do me a favor, just raise your hand right now. Say, Bodie, that's me. I prayed that prayer. I asked Jesus into my life this morning. I'm not ashamed to admit it. Just raise your hand right now. Maybe you've done that. Maybe there's been that time in your life where you've said yes to Jesus, but you know if you look up over the last few months, you'd see, you know what, I truly have not been following Him. He's not only been second place, He's been way down on the list. It's time to come home. It's time to follow Him once again. It's time to devote yourself, your life to Him once again, fresh and anew. Maybe you just want to pray and say, God, I'm coming home. I want to follow you once again. I want to honor you once again. I want to serve you once again. God, thank you for never giving up on me. Maybe that's you. Maybe you just made a fresh commitment to Him this morning, just recommitting your life to follow Him, serve Him. If that's you, I just want to pray for you right now. Would you do me a favor? Just raise your hand. Say, Bodie, that's me. Amen. Father, in this room, your men, women, young people, Lord, that you created, you fashioned, you designed them uniquely. Father, every aspect of their life laid out by you, orchestrated by you, because of your great love for them. Lord, I pray today would be a fresh reminder of that love, of that purpose and intention in our life. God, I pray that the women in this room would note that they have an incredible gift, that they can influence others to serve you, to follow you, to worship you. God, instead of using it to serve and to worship themselves, God, that they would use it to influence generations. So that as Eve brought her failure to you, God, that we can bring our failure to you and the end of our lives, that we would know that countless generations after us, there would still be men and women serving you because we influenced them to follow you and to trust you and to believe you and to worship you. God, I pray this morning, men and women, trust you for the first time and follow you with their life, God. You would restore hope this morning. God, you would bring new beginnings this morning in their lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's stand our feet. I want us to sing.